Blog Talk Radio.
I wasn't on. I mean, I wasn't on. Yeah, I'm just talking to Trey right now.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz. Your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Bonnie James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Layla, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your host, the Jazz Queen, and Mike Reynolds.
Hello, and welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz, where you meet the artist. My name is Terry, a.k.a. the Jazz Queen. It is Saturday, August 28th, 2010. I am in Las Vegas. I just found out that my co-host, Mike Reynolds, is in New York. What are you doing in New York, Mike?
I'm out here in New York City. I came out here just to have a good time out here, and I was actually going to go to the J&R Music Fest. They have Marcus Johnson performing both Saturday and Sunday, and they have Lila James. Lila James, she'll be performing tonight as well, and I think Boudreaux is up here. He's up here to perform and demonstrate his new, I think it's called the Beam thing he has, that on his new website or something. I forgot some kind of new product that he has. Yeah, so he's up here with that. So just come here and just take a little break or something.
Okay. All right. Well, cool. Now, Mike, as you know, Mike is originally from the Baltimore area, the DMV area, as we say, but he's hanging out in New York today. So cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm out here shopping too. So I'm in a shopping mall right now. So I'm doing some little shopping.
Wow.
I'm a jack of all trades, Trey. I mean, I can do it all right now. You know.
Well, our guest today is Eric Kowala of the group The Uptown Band, based in Reading, Pennsylvania. The band's music contains both original and cover songs with elements of R&B, jazz, soul, funk, pop, and rock. Their current CD is called Waiting for Her. Eric, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we are happy to have you on. So now, Mike is in New York. You're not too far from Mike. I mean, you're in Reading, and he's in New York.
Yep. I'm in Reading, so I'm only about 2.5 hours from there. Of course, with traffic, it would take about 12 hours to get from Reading. But typically, no, it usually takes about 3 hours, depending on traffic, once you go over the bridge and such.
Okay.
All right. Well, the phone number is 646-716-5485 if you would like to call in and speak with Eric. If we have any Uptown Band fans out there, please call in. Or you can join us in the chat room along with Cheryl and Injustice System, COM, and Joe from Germany. Hi, Joe. By going to TalkingSmoothJazz.com, clicking on the TSJ Radio Show page, and then the Play Chat button underneath the Uptown Band Show. Eric, I read that the band started in your basement.
Yep, just like so many bands probably over the last 60, 70, 80 years. Yep, we started in our basement and, just sort of decided what we wanted to do. I think I actually have an accounting degree, so what I tried to do was figure out the business plan of where we want to go, and things seem to be going well. But, you know, it's like any beginnings, it's tough, and you do it. You do it in a basement, and you start practicing, and, you know, if you have the right musicians, you get them together, and everything just starts to take off.
Mm. Now, I should say, let you know that Eric is married to the singer in his band. Her name is Jennifer, and she was scheduled to join us today, but she had some minor surgery, but she's doing fine, so just send her our best.
Not to interrupt, but Jennifer and I, we actually only got married about 2 months ago, and we did it on stage at our local hometown show. So it was about 1,000 of our closest friends that we didn't even know, half of them.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah,
thank you, Mike.
Congratulations.
Well, after 8.5 years, it was time.
That's, That's a cool concept, to have a concert slash wedding. No, I like that. I like
it
that.
It was different. You know, and we didn't put any press releases out or anything like that. We just wanted to, you know, make it. About 50 people knew, our parents and our close friends, and, yeah, we surprised everybody. That's not something that you see every day when you go to a concert in the park.
Okay. Wow. Well, congratulations again.
Yeah.
You guys have... Go ahead, Mike.
No, go ahead. I was just going to probably ask the same thing you're going to ask him.
Well, no, I was just going to say that they've been together for 8 years, he said,
Yep. And...
So when exactly did the band start? When did you guys start thinking about putting the band together?
Well, the group as it is now, we were in a couple bands around the Reading area, and we just decided that, you know, based on, for whatever reason, we wanted to get together and just wanted to pretty much do a little bit of everything, but I really wanted to start an original career. And, you know, because it's one thing to play other people's music, but it's one thing to be able to play your own music and hear it on radio, and it's just, you know, it's a great feeling. But so we started it from a couple different bands, and that was in, I think it was November 06. And then our first show was actually at a club for the Berks Jazz Festival in March. Actually, it was November 05, excuse me, and our first show was in March 2006 at the Berks Jazz Festival, where we're from.
Okay. All right. I was telling Mike, we were talking about us being at Berks this past April, and the band, Uptown Band, has performed at Berks a couple of times. But did you guys perform this year?
We did perform this year. This year we did more of a brunch, luncheon type of thing. That's one thing that's so great about the Jazz Fest. It's been around close to 20 years. Actually, it is 20 years. It just celebrated its anniversary. And from its beginnings, where they would only bring a couple acts into where it is now, it's become an international festival. And they have so many different styles of entertainment there. But also the venues are really nice. One of the venues that we played last year was a venue that Joe McBride played. It's at the historic Abe Lincoln Hotel, and believe it or not, that's where John Philip Sousa spent his last night. Many people do not know that, but John Philip Sousa spent his last night in Reading, and that's where this show was. And it's just, it's anything from a venue of 2,500 to 3,000 people to a venue that fits 200 people. And, you know, to go see a guy like Joe McBride and just be in an intimate atmosphere is just something that the Berks Jazz Fest offers that a lot of other places can't offer. So that's where we performed last year. It was at the Abe Lincoln Hotel. And then this year we performed at one of the country clubs, and we had a couple hundred people. It was a Sunday afternoon. And Jennifer and I and a gentleman by the name of Cliff Starkey, too, who sometimes plays with Pieces of a Dream, we just did a trio job this year at a local restaurant as well. So that's one thing that's so nice about the festival. You can have all type of acts. You can have a small venue, medium venue, big venue, you know, intimacy, or big concert. It's a great festival, and we're happy to be a part of it. So we thank John Ernesto for that each year.
Wow. Now, my question was, the Uptown Band, how did you guys come up with the name of the band?
Well, my drummer, he actually started a band called Uptown about 5 years ago, and then we just wanted it to be a classy, sophisticated name, you know, especially when you're doing smooth jazz, R&B, stuff like that. We just wanted something to be sophisticated and classy, and how we do go out is our full name is the Uptown Band featuring Eric Koala and Jennifer Kinder, although she won't take my last name, so she still wants to be called Jennifer Kinder, so we still have to call it that. But just was looking for something. Yeah. I'm trying. No, but it's just okay. That's her name, and I understand that. And so she wants to hyphen it, which is fine with me, as long as I get some type of recognition. See, we're quibbling already. And she's not even here. How about that?
See. Tell us about the other band members.
The other band members, Jennifer and I are both in our 30s, and the other band members are a bit older. The next youngest guy, well, my trumpet player actually is a young guy. He's only 29, but he's from Philly, and he actually is Terrell Stafford's sub with Tim Warfield. I don't know if you ever heard of Tim Warfield, but he's one of the great straight-ahead jazz players in America, and he's from close to here in York, Pennsylvania. But Tim Thompson's our trumpet player, and he's from Philly, and he just joined the band in November. And my keyboard player used to be the piano player for the Dovells. I don't know if you ever heard of the Dovells, but they were a big act in the 60s that had a big hit called the Bristol Stomp. Certainly not smooth jazz in any way. But he's from Wilkes-Barre, and the rest of the guys are based out of the Reading, Pennsylvania area. My guitar player, my bass player, who's extremely funky, and so we're pretty much just out of the Reading, Pennsylvania area, and we play all types of material. We write as well. My keyboard player is one of the writers. I'm one of the writers. Jennifer is one of the writers as well. And there's all types of things I can say, but I don't know really where to start other than that right now.
Okay, all right. Well, let's talk about the CD, Waiting for Her.
Yes.
This CD was released in 08.
Yep.
And I also read that it was released at Gerald Veasley's Jazz Bass Club.
Yep, that's correct. Yep, in November 2008 we released it there, and Gerald Veasley's Jazz Bass is one of the great, great, great clubs in America. You can see the Rippingtons. The Rippingtons were just there last Thursday night, and it only holds about 160, 170 people, and it's just an amazing venue. And that's one thing, like I said, that Reading offers, just an intimate, intimate venue to see acts. And it was a goal of mine to have our release there because of Gerald Veasley, who's from Philadelphia. He puts his name on that place because obviously what it is, it's such a great venue. And that's why we decided to release it there.
Okay. And Waiting for Her. Now, was this your debut CD?
Yep, that's our debut CD. Waiting for Her actually is the title track. It's an instrumental smooth jazz. Sort of a David Sanborn meets Eric Marienthal meets Boney James. And I wrote that actually while I was waiting for Jennifer to come home from the grocery store, of all things.
Oh.
Now, we released it in 2008, and we only just started really getting radio for it within the last year, significant radio airplay, because like anything, you have a budget that you set aside. And to record a CD, obviously, as an independent artist is a major expense to do it correctly. And one thing I wanted to do, even from the start, was do it correctly and make sure everything was right. And so we just really started a radio campaign about 3 or 4 months ago, and our debut single, You Treated Me Good, was just released on August 2nd. It went for ads. And it's doing quite well so far. We've picked up about 60 radio stations and across the world, and we're very happy about it.
Okay, and I want to say, too, that, and I read this, the band's debut single, You Treating Me Good, was the number one most added track in the country on the Groove Jazz Radio chart for August 2nd,
yep.
2010, with
yep.
six ads beating out chart regulars Incognito and Brian Culberson.
Yeah, that's correct. I couldn't believe it myself. But Adam Leibowitz at ASL Music Media and Promotion, he's doing a great job. He's based out in near Los Angeles. And he's a great guy, and he's been the radio promoter for many other smooth jazz artists as well. Will Donato is one of his clients with Intervision Records. He's also one of the founders of Intervision Records. So, yeah, we're very happy to have Adam. And I really spent a long time trying to find the perfect promoter for us, because with me, I'm very personalized, and I wanted somebody that I really could have a good personal relationship, and he's based in California, and even though he's a Dodgers fan and I'm a Phillies fan, we still can make things work.
Okay.
And in fact, I know the Phillies.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I said I know the Phillies are playing the Dodgers this week, so I won't be too tough on them when they're out there.
Okay. I have a question for you from the chat room. Cheryl
yeah.
would like to know, how easy was it for you to switch gears when you played with acts such as Marie Osmond and then go with Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes?
You know, it's one of those things, when you do shows like that, you know, you have to be a decent reader, and that's the important thing. One thing I've really tried to concentrate on in the last couple years with my saxophone students. I have about 20 saxophone, flute, clarinet students. One thing I really try to concentrate on is teaching two ways, teaching both, you know, to go with your ear and go with your feel and play with your heart, but you also need to be able to read notes, because there's so many shows out there yet. Now, it's not like it used to be, but there's so many shows that acts come to town. And what they do is they throw the charts at you. You have a rehearsal for 45 minutes or an hour, and then you just play. And that's, you know, you just have to be able to adapt to any scenario, whether you're playing a convention, whether you're playing Gerald Veasley's Jazz Bass. And that takes a long time. I'm 31 years old. I've been doing this professionally since I was 19 when I joined a show band. But for me, it's not just about playing music. It's about playing music, putting on a show, and making sure everybody is entertained as well. But it is difficult. Mm-hmm. It's different. It's a different mindset, you know, when there's a couple thousand people in front of you and they want to be entertained with the feel and the groove. It's different than backing up a celebrity. Backing up a celebrity, you have to know your job, and your job is to be as technical as possible and to read those charts just like they're supposed to be played as they wrote them. So it's difficult.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to get to some music. Mike, I just want to check to see if you have a question before I play a song.
No. That's, I'm cool.
Okay. All right. Then I'm going to start off with the single, You Treated Me Good. This is from the Waiting For Her CD.
How long it's been over, but I know you couldn't be the right.
because you treated me good from the Uptown Band's current CD, Waiting for Her. And we are talking to Eric Kowala, the lead member of the band. And Eric, I just wanted to say that we have another listener from Germany in the chat room, so I want to welcome Werner. Welcome, Werner, to the chat room. And so now we have two listeners from Germany.
All right. I'm German.
Music. Oh, you are? Okay.
Originally, my grandfather came over here when he was about 6 years old. He was born in Breslau, which I believe is now Poland. The spelling of my name, my parents named me Germanic. It's E-R-I-C-H. It's actually pronounced Erich. But not too many people in the States would call me Erich, so I go by Eric.
Ah, interesting.
Yep.
Okay, now, I lived in the Bay Area for about 13 years, and I worked for a law firm that was a husband and wife team.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember asking Lisa, how is it that they could work and live together? I mean, to me, they were seeing each other 24/7 and how they, you know, worked that out. Somehow they did. So that's my question to you. With you and your wife being in the band, you're living together, working together, how do you separate the professional from the personal?
You know, it's difficult. And we've gone through this, like I said, 8.5 years, and we only just decided to get married about 6 or 7 months ago. You know, you just have to sometimes understand that when we're on stage, you know, I sort of am the boss for everything, and then when I go home, she's the boss. And with that being said, you know, sometimes you run into some issues with that. You know, there's many times that I'm waiting out in the van to go, and she comes out 5 minutes after. One thing about me, I'm always very on time, and she's sometimes, 92% of the time, she's about 3 minutes late. So I've sort of put that into my tabulations of everything. And if we have to go to a show, I'll say, well, let's leave at 4 o'clock. And really, I could leave at 4:15 and be okay still. But it's tough. I mean, it's like anything, you know. But I think you just have to take it with a grain of salt and understand how much you love each other. Sometimes it's like the big sister that you love, but sometimes you hate. But Jennifer and I, we love each other. And we have a very similar stance on where we want to go with things. And professionally, I think that really has helped us as well. I think if we were going in a different direction professionally, if she would have sang with another group or something like that, it would have been tough. But, you know, I wish she was here today for the interview, and I appreciate you being so understanding. But it's definitely difficult, but the great times are the great times, and like anything, the bad times are the bad times, and that's just how it is. And you love each other. You understand that. And I can't imagine being after doing some 1,000 to 1,200 shows together, I can't imagine being on that stage with anybody else. It's just weird.
Wow. 1,000 to 1,200 shows. Is that a year?
Yeah. No, No. I probably wouldn't be talking to you today if that were the case. But that's over an 8-year period.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say you're very, very busy.
That would be, oh, my Lord, that would be busy. That would be, what, 3 shows a day? That would be the day job. That would take me back to my accounting career.
Well, I would like to read a review from the Urban Music Scene, and this was written by Randy Mahone. I hope I'm pronouncing his last name right.
Yep.
The promising 2010 debut, Waiting for Her, from Philly area-based collective known as the Uptown Band, blends a fine concoction of jazz, funk, rock, and pop. This band is one to be looked out for in the coming months and beyond. So that's some good news, some good words for you. I like that. I love to read the reviews.
Well, anytime anytime anybody says concoction, that's always a good thing. Randy's great. I'll tell you, out of the reviews we got, Randy has been so personal and so nice with us, and I'm hoping to meet Randy sometime later in the year. He's actually based in New York. Just a real nice guy. You know, and like I said, I love personal relationships. That's what it's all about, and I can't thank Randy enough for the incredible personal review that he gave us.
Okay. All right, I'm going to go back to another song. This is the title track. Now, this song is also on the U.S. Smooth Jazz first jazz compilation CD called Jazz Fusion Session 1.
Yep.
So congratulations to you on that.
Oh, and thank you to Marianne down there as well. They're doing a great thing at U.S. Smooth Jazz with independent artists and just a nice collection of different artists that they have, ussmoothjazz.com.
Yeah, you can find the CD there on ussmoothjazz.com. It's called Jazz Fusion Session 1, and this is the title track from Waiting for Her. I don't know why I can't say that. Waiting for Her. was the title track from the Uptown Band's Waiting for Her CD. Very nice, very nice. Now, Eric, I read that you made your musical debut here in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand.
Oh, so funny, isn't that?
It wasn't my musical debut, but I did perform with another band there. Gosh, that's got to be 7 or 8 years ago. I forget exactly what it was for. It was some type of movie-themed event out of Hollywood at the MGM Grand. And, man, when I looked down those hallways, that was the first time I was ever in Las Vegas. It's unbelievable. You need binoculars. but I don't remember the gentleman's name, but I know that I played with Debbie Reynolds' piano player, and I just can't remember his name. But he was then on Wayne Newton's show on TV, too. But, man, incredible musician. But it wasn't my musical debut. My musical debut was in 1998 at a place in New Jersey. It was a private party, and I didn't know anything. I was only 19 years old. You know how when you're 19, you think you know everything, and you really don't know anything. But at least I could play my D scale.
I was just going to ask you, were you singing or were you playing an instrument?
I was doing both. I play sax, flute, clarinet, and I think on that one I was singing and playing. Seems like 95% of my shows I sing and play. However, like when I played with Marie Osmond, obviously for that I didn't sing. I just played. They had me put the horn section together. But usually I sing and play. I'm sort of lost up there without my saxophone in my hand sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of my,
mm-hmm.
you know, my second nature just to have it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Mike, I'm sorry I took your question.
you took it, sir. I was just thinking about that, and I was also thinking about, I know that I was going to ask you, too, when did you realize that you could sing? Because your wife, she's been singing since she was 5, and I know you may not be able to answer this one for her, but do you know anything about, is that she was hired to do jingles when she was younger and everything? I was going to ask you, how did that come about? Or do you know about that?
Yes, I do. Jennifer got into it around 5. She started taking voice lessons. At a very early age, she just could pick things up. And this is a story you hear so many times when you, especially on TV with, you know, Alicia Keys and people like that. Jennifer is just a phenomenal vocalist. She has, out of any female vocalist I've ever worked with, she just has a feel and a timbre to her voice. It's an R&B, and she can sound like Anita Baker too, if she wants to. But she just has an R&B voice, and she just always has been singing. And she used to sing at malls. I know she told me, you know, how many malls in America on Saturdays do they have people singing for contests and such? And she was doing that since she's 5. And then she, a producer from the Reading, Pennsylvania area by the name of Scott Verrett, who also wrote a couple of songs on the CD, he discovered her and he wanted to work with her. And Scott had been trying to make it big with Jennifer for years. They've written numerous songs together, probably 50 songs together, and they've been sending them out. And, you know, so many times when you send them out to record companies, it's hard, you know, for them just to listen. And then many times they would get rejections, and that's just how it is mm-hmm. in the music business. You know, that's just the way it is. But she just keeps doing it, and like anything, I think in this business, you just have to keep treading water, and it's a marathon. It's not a sprint, and you just have to establish yourself and just keep trying and trying and trying. But Jennifer's also, for the community, since she's been that old, she's always sang jingles for the United Way. She sang jingles for, I think, the American Cancer Society, all different organizations that have requested her to sing on their commercials and tracks and such. And she doesn't do too much of that anymore, but when she was younger and in her early 20s, she used to do a lot of that as well.
Mm. And she has her own CD. She has a CD called Show Me More.
Yep.
Is that still available?
I think it's yes, it's available on waterfall440.com. And what that is, one of Jennifer's biggest influences is Mariah Carey. In fact, she covers a Mariah Carey song on the CD called Vanishing. But that's available on waterfall440.com. And what it is, it's more of a pop record, because that's where Jennifer's love was for many years, was in pop music. And there's a lot of great pop songs on there. In fact, what we did was we took a few of those pop tunes and made them more of a contemporary sound, sort of with a smooth jazz song. In fact, one of the songs I sent you was Breathless. But that's I think, what sort of makes us unique in a way is the fact that we have a smooth jazz R&B sound, and then when you add Jennifer to the mix, it just gives it a totally different sound and can show a diversity. But, yes, so that is available yet on waterfall440.com.
Okay.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. Now, and I also wanted to ask you, too, you know, listening to you answer the question just now about, you know, different challenges in being rejected and things like that. What are some of the challenges that you guys face now? Because apparently you guys have built a good relationship in the Reading, Pennsylvania area with the Brooks Council and people like that. But what is the challenges that you guys face trying to get your music heard to the rest of the country and everything right now?
Well, you know, it's like anything. Everything that you want to do, it costs money, you know, and I think marketing is so important. And what I try and do is I look at the budget that we have, and I try and figure out how I can market it in the best way possible. The challenge is there's so many artists out there. Another challenge is you know, just going to certain shows and such. You have to keep the band working. When you have a 7-piece band, you want to keep the band working. So we do perform at private parties. We perform at all types of venues, you know, festivals, all types of events. And it music business is challenging. You know, there's months that it's really busy, and there's months, January and February, that it's not so busy. And if you can keep it going in the slow months, your busy months are always very busy, and you don't have to look for work. But we've sort of come to a level now, which is nice, that people are starting to call us now instead of me having to go out and search for work. But as a full-time musician, one of the things I learned with my business degree is you just have to keep calling people and saying hello and just developing interpersonal relationships. And I think that's so important. But it is a very challenging time right now, and especially for an independent musician. But on the cross mm-hmm. side of that, yeah, I mean, independent musicians, it's always hard. You have to do what the record companies would do and what the promoters would do. But on the cross side of that, it's nice to be able to do whatever you want, you know, and make your own decisions. And if you succeed, then you can pat yourself on the back. If you fail, which we've done many times, you realize that, you know, you may not be totally responsible for that failure, but it just makes you work harder to try and keep getting to that next level.
Yeah, that's so very true. And you know, and do you think that you having a business degree has helped you in ways to, you know the ins and outs of the business right now? Because we've interviewed some artists that do have degrees in business and things like that pertaining to music and music law and things like that. But has that really helped you? Do you think that that's an advantage that some up-and-coming musicians should take advantage of to try to go to school and get a business degree or a musical degree or something like that?
Absolutely, and I do my own taxes. I know how to do all the write-offs and everything, and I think it's so important to be understanding in the business world. I know so many great straight-ahead jazz players that play beautifully, and I go to listen to these people in a club, and it just as a saxophone player, I have nothing but the utmost respect for them. What you need to do is have to understand that it's a business, and the music business is sometimes cruel. And you just have to keep afloat and understand that just keep treading and treading and treading. But the business degree for me, my parents, I was 17 and I decided I wanted to go to college. I wasn't sure what I wanted to major in, and I wanted to do music. And my parents said, well, if you want to do music, we don't know if we want to pay for it. And they paid for half of my education, which was great, and I appreciate it so much that they've done that. And I learned from it. I wish I did have a music degree sometimes, but at the same time, it's really nice to have an accounting degree as well, because of all the business degrees, I think accounting is probably the number one thing, because everything that you do in life, you have to know how to account for the money and how to spread it in the most valuable ways possible. So to answer that question, absolutely. And you've seen all those horror stories, just as I have with certain big-name artists that have lost their money, and it's a shame. It's a shame. And because there's so many people that would want to take advantage of you, and I certainly will not let that happen.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that you have there's a 7-piece band, and, you know, during the slow times, are they working in other bands, or are they doing solo shows themselves during the slow times?
Yes, they do. Everybody that's in my band has, it's when you're in a band, you know, you want people that can play with you all the time, and I do have
mm-hmm.
that flexibility with my guys. But if it's a slow time and somebody calls them up and says, are you available on this date, what they usually do will call me, and that's the professional thing to do. And if I don't have a date that day, I certainly have no problem with my guys playing with other guys. I think that's important. I think they learn from it. We all learn from it. Every time you're on that stage, you certainly learn from it. And you just have to keep it going, you know, and do solo shows, whether it's the piano player playing, you know, cocktail music for an hour or two somewhere for a client or anywhere else. Sometimes I can make the band smaller as well. And I work with other people too. As I mentioned, Cliff Starkey, who plays with Pieces of a Dream sometimes, and Benny Sims, who actually helped produce the album. He's written songs for Pieces of a Dream. We play together many times together as well. So it's a family. One thing, again, about being in Reading too, there's a lot of musicians that are very close to each other. And we're very close to each other, and when we play different venues, and if my guys aren't available or vice versa, I can interchange with those guys as well, which is very nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Well, let's get back to some music. Anthem is the next song I'm going to play. Tell me about this one.
Anthem was a song that was written by my keyboard player. It's actually the Dave Fenwick is his name. It's actually the last song on the CD, and it sounds like one of the reviews somebody gave us, it sounds like it should be a score for a movie or a television show, and I think it should. It just has a real nice laid-back feel, and he wrote this a couple years ago, and we were happy to put it on the CD.
Okay, this is Anthem.
Thank you.
I love the piano on that. That's very nice. Yes,
very nice. I love that too. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I have another review that I would like to read. This is from Dennis Poole from smoothjazztherapy.com. Dennis says, with the vocals of Eric Koala and Jennifer Kinder at its heart, the Philadelphia-based Uptown Band is one of the Northeast's most versatile live acts. Now, courtesy of the new CD, Waiting for Her, this tight seven-piece collective is about to step out and take its musical ambitions to a whole different audience. Waiting for Her is an accomplished collection that ably transports the band's undisputed live prowess to the recording studio. Congratulations.
No, thank you. That was nice of Dennis. He's another guy that, I thank these guys so much for being so kind to write these things. I certainly am in contact with Dennis on Facebook, and that's what's nice about the Internet. You know, you're right there, and just to thank him and stuff, and you can chat with him. It's a great thing.
Yeah, isn't it nice to be able to just have that direct contact with them?
It's amazing.
I love that, too. Now, I mentioned that this CD came out in 2008, so are you working on new music?
Yeah, I think what we're going to do, going to record a Christmas track for Smooth Jazz Radio. We're just in the beginning phases of that. And then after that, I have, you're always writing songs. I have about 15 songs on my phone right now that I need to finish. You think of ideas, you sing them, and then, you have to finish them. But I'm hoping that we can have our next CD out sometime in late 2011, but it's probably going to look like 2012. It's just it's so much work that goes into it, and to do it right like you want to, it makes it very difficult. And life gets in the way sometimes, too, So you try and write when you can and record when you can, and hopefully we can get it out. It's probably going to be more like 2012, though.
Okay. I want to let you know that one of the listeners in the chat room, Cheryl, she asked me to let you know that a couple of her coworkers, John and Evan, are listening to the show, and they were feeling that last song, Anthem.
No. Well, thank you for feeling it. I feel it, too. I think it definitely has a movie score on it, I think.
She says they're not even into jazz, and they liked it.
That's what I want to hear. It's new age meets smooth jazz. We love it. Now, Dave's a good writer, and that's another thing that is really hopefully working in our favor. The fact that we have different writers, I think that really helps, because when you collaborate with each other, you get different sounds. And I like different sounds. I've always been into variety, and obviously I love smooth jazz, and I think that's where my heart's at, jazz and smooth jazz, that idiom. It's nice to throw in funk, and it's nice to do a little bit of everything and get different ideas.
Well, I want to play the last song, Breathless,
okay,
before we let you go. So this is Breathless from the Waiting for Her CD.
I'm
voice of Jennifer Kinder singing I'm a Breathless. Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm lucky to have her. I'm very lucky to have her.
Beautiful voice she has. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Is there something else you would like us to know about the Uptown Band?
Anybody ever wants to come out and see us, or if they want any more information about the band, you can just find us on the web, uptownbandmusic.com or theuptownband.com. And the pleasure was all mine. This was very kind of you, and I appreciate what you do for independent artists as well as big-name artists. I think that's what's great about your show as well, is that you showcase both. And I certainly can't thank you enough.
Well, thank you, Eric, for joining us.
Definitely.
And please give our best to Jennifer and hope that she feels better soon.
Can I answer one more question? It's one more question real fast. I know you guys did a show for Matt Millen, NFL ex-player Matt Millen. How did you guys meet Matt?
Matt actually found out about us. One of the photographers from this area, actually from Bethlehem, which is near Allentown, Matt found out about the band, and they loved the band, so they hired us for his daughter's wedding. So we performed at his daughter's wedding a couple months ago. And Matt was an incredibly nice guy, real nice guy, and I have nothing but good things to say about him.
Okay,
you know, sometimes what you see in the newspapers and what you see in TV, as you know, sometimes is not the case. And Matt truly, him and his wife were nothing but kind to us. Very hometown values, you know. He's a Penn State guy and very hometown, very rural Pennsylvania.
Yeah, okay. I had to just ask that one football-related question to you, that's all. but it was a mixed question, Terry. It was a mixed question, football and jazz, so.
Who's your team, Mike? Who's your team?
I love the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys.
I'm an Eagles guy. You got it.
Oh no!
Football.
Well, something tells me Dallas is probably going to win the NFC. It's going to be Dallas Green Bay this year. I don't think those Eagles now that Donovan's left.
No.
Years.
No, that's right. You're right about that.
Hey, Mike, and is it amazing? Look how good we got along, even though we're both, you're a Cowboys fan and I'm an Eagles fan. See that?
You know, amazing.
What harmony.
Yes. Oh, wow.
Oh, that's too sweaty.
Sorry,
too
Terry.
Sweaty.
We two guys together talking football, you know, you can't.
That's
once you find that out, it's good that the interview's over because we'd be in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, true,
and it has happened. Trust me, I have just turned it over to him and other artists talking football. So it's so true.
That's right.
I can talk baseball. Not our football team's hopefully going to do well, but it doesn't look good for this year. But I can talk baseball, so we'll talk baseball.
Okay. If that'll work too. I mean, I'm internationals right now, and I know Strasburg is hurt, so he'll be out for like at least
that's
a year.
Game. Yeah, it's a shame how that happened down there because that guy has all tons of talent. In fact, he pitched in Harrisburg earlier in this year for the Harrisburg Senators, the AA affiliate of the Nationals.
Yeah,
and we have the Reading Phillies in Philadelphia in Reading, so they I actually got to see Strasburg. He's quite a talent.
Yeah,
it's a shame.
Yes, indeed. Okay, Trey, that's it.
Okay. No more sports talk.
That's it.
Except if you want to talk about Rocky, being from close to Philly, we'll talk about Rocky.
No, I think that's it right there. You know?
Oh, my gosh.
You guys are funny. Well, Eric, it has been a pleasure. Such a pleasure talking to you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity, and I hope you guys have a great end to your summer.
Yeah, and you do the same. And hopefully we'll see you next year, Berks.
I hope so. Go Berks Jazz Fest.
Yes,
definitely. All right. You have a great day.
Okay, you guys too. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was Eric Koala. He is one of the leads in the band, the Uptown Band. His wife, Jennifer Kinder, is the other leader of that band. And check them out on the website, uptownbandmusic.com. You can also find them on Facebook and, I believe, on MySpace as well. You can find them. Again, the CD is called Waiting for Her. So thanks again to Eric, and thanks again to Mike as well for setting up that interview. All right, so Mr. Smooth.
Mike, you mean King Tom? Tom Hefty, right?
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes. I'm getting confused. Sorry, Tom Hefty. Sorry, Tom. Thank you. We have about a minute left. You're hanging out in New York. How long are you going to be there?
Just to the end of the day. I'm driving back home and everything. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't get to check out Marcus, but I know he's going to be here tomorrow. And like I said, Uchimu will still be here tomorrow as well. And it's because he's here for the whole weekend as well.
All right. Okay,
yeah.
Tomorrow we're talking to Robert Caballo, singer. He will be calling in from the UK in Matt Marshack after that. So that will be a two-hour show tomorrow. And then on Monday we're talking to keyboardist Brian Simpson.
Yes.
Brian is the musical director for Dave Koz, and he has a new CD out called South Beach. So we're looking forward to talking to him.
Yes,
all right,
to talk with Matt. Definitely with Matt, because Matt Marshack and Schultz will be having a show at Ram's Head, and I actually talked to Steve Butler today, who also is from the New York area, and I know Schultz is in town today, so I was going to go hang out with him, but he hadn't called me back yet, so.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks to those in the chat room, Cheryl, Glenda, and Justice, C-O-M, Joe, and Werner from Germany. Thank you so much for tuning in and hanging out with us today. You have been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, the Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
And we look forward to talking smooth jazz with you tomorrow. Until then, keep it smooth.